The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in London, where I'm currently enjoying my summer holidays in my homeland, but missing Columbia terribly. Anyhow, this is episode 431 of the Columbia Calling podcast. This week's special guests are musicians, enthusiasts, members of the Colombian diaspora in London, and we'll be talking about a new music festival that they've put together. They put together in Barcelona, coming up in a couple of weeks. It's called Prende la Vela. So check out Guacamayo Tropical, and you'll find more information about Prende la Vela Festival. It's a multi-day festival, mainly bullerengue, but other types of cumbia and music. La Perla from Bogota is also playing, Acola Tambo, you know, other drum groups, other bullerengue groups. There'll be all sorts of events going on. And really, it sounds like a very special and very fun thing to get involved with over a couple of days in Barcelona. How better to spend a couple of days in Barcelona, coming up, height of summer, and just, you know, feeling the rhythms, the Colombian and the Latin American rhythms there, and of course the drum groups and so on. Of course, this episode is brought to you by Latin News, which is a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all of the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. Also, this episode is brought to you by BNB Colombia Tours, experts in custom-made travel throughout Colombia. The team at BNB Colombia Tours can provide you with a fantastic private experiences, creating wonderful memories of Colombia for a lifetime. So check out the website at bnbcolombia.com and tell them that Columbia Calling sent you, and receive a further 5% off their already great prices. So there you are. Those are our two sponsors for this episode. That's latinnews.com and bnbcolombia.com. Travel there and politics and analysis. So anyway, episode 431, we're calling it the Bullerengue in Barcelona, but it's of course Colombian Bullerengue in Barcelona. We have members of music groups, we have enthusiasts, we have dancers and so on. We have four people on this episode. So thank you to Valeria, thank you to Tatiana, Esteban and Nick for getting in touch and of course, well, you know, telling us about this amazing event, an amazing thing they've put together for just a couple of weeks' time in Barcelona. Emily is here in London, but she's a little bit under the weather. So we're all wishing her the best. I hope that the news report will come out, but she's feeling that her voice doesn't lend itself to radio right now. We have communicated. She will be okay, of course, but of course, let's wish her all the best and that she's back with us as soon as possible, hopefully next week to deliver the news brief once again. So I'm Richard McCall. This is the Columbia Calling podcast, episode 431. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the last segment of the show. Thank you. And we're back. This is segment three of episode 431. I'm Richard McCall. We're in London at the moment. At the end of July, beginning of August, we'll be back in Colombia. But I too have summer holidays, and it's been a fair few years since we were over. So we are here in London, and our very special guests this week are in London as well. But we're going to talk not only about their lives in London, which transcend to Abu Dhabi, Colombia, also then on to Barcelona. So we're going to talk about all these things, but let me introduce you to, we've got Nick Lopez-Green, we've got Tatiana Gomez, we've got Esteban Cardona, and we've got Valeria Pacific. And between them, they are putting together a festival in Barcelona. But before we get onto that, we're going to discuss a little bit about music, about London, about life, and so on. So guys, welcome on the Columbia Calling podcast.
Thank you.
There you go. You can hear them all there in the same room somewhere across London from us right now. So let's talk about this. Nick has been a listener for quite a while. And actually, we've had sort of back and forths and conversation. And he sent money to help people during the pandemic. So we've had good banter. Or equally so, he's had a good laugh at one of our former guests and his desire to cross the Darien Gap, the other side, and having been sent back, and then the army getting involved. We've had a good conversation about that. Just so you know, that guy will be landing this month again in Colombia.
More power to him.
More power to him, yeah.
One thing that we also had, Richard, was I still need to thank you for sorting me and my dad out at your hotel in Montbos, which just for the listeners is like a really wonderful place to go and chill out if you really want to. I'd say the place I chill out most in the world is sitting by the river staring at the Rio Magdalena in Montbos.
Yes, that will get you another night's free stay and all sorts of friendship
this
from my extended.
The swimming pool, Richard. That one looks like it's got a good style going on there.
That's all right. The San Rafael with the swimming pool. Well, now, of course, now you are a married man. It's the ideal place to return with Tatiana, who's on your arm there on the other side. Now, before we jump in, you guys, I mean, Nick, you're Colombian, and Tatiana obviously is Colombian. You guys met outside the Toto La Momposina concert in 2017 in London.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That is
kind of like a courting place for Colombians in London, potentially, 2017, yeah.
There's something serendipitous about this. I love this idea of people, the meeting outside of La Momposina concert, and now you're married and your lives have taken you across the world together. I mean, this is a really great story. That's a really great story. But I can't imagine that, but I don't know, Tatiana, how do you feel about this crazy guy approaching you in the queue outside of the concert? I mean, it can't be ordinary. It must have been creepy.
I feel amazing that happened.
I don't know. I think if I sidled up to someone outside the concert, they're just sort of, who's this weird guy? But anyhow, the story works out well. And I'm happy to see it.
I didn't approach her.
No, it was a friend of one of my friends. She went and asked him random scene things. And then he took the occasion and came to the
club
with
a group,
I was sweet, so
there you go. So it was facilitated by someone else. Very good. And now let's move on to our other guests. We got the musicians Esteban Cardona and Valeria Pacific, but you are residents of London, that's right?
Yes,
yeah, it's been a long time we're here.
So how long have you been here?
I've been here for 8 years, except for the pandemic, a year during the pandemic that I spent in Colombia.
Mm.
But yeah, since 2014.
So you went home for that period.
And I've been here for about 13 years now.
So yeah, you're like a long time. I can see it. You look a bit tired, you know. You look a whole lot tired.
Exactly. He's a Londoner now.
Yeah, you're
tired of London, tired of life.
Ah, well, it's what you say. But here's the deal: is that you know, anyone's a Londoner. It's such a cosmopolitan city that you're here. You are a Londoner. That's the truth. But how has it been for you guys, Valeria and Esteban? How has it been, sort of adjusting from, I guess, Colombian culture to English culture, or London culture. How has it been over time? Because it's not an easy transition to make.
I don't know. I mean, my first year in the UK was in Bournemouth, so it was kind of like chilling off by the beach to have that transition, and also like, you know, getting used to English and yeah, like thinking and dreaming in English. And then I don't know, like everything came quite, I don't know, it's been like, you know, it's like been like many lives within my London life, because I don't know, like it changes so much from one place to another with the you know, the people you share with. So it's been a very interesting journey for me, and you know, like it's been already 13 years, and I'm happy to be here. I'm very excited because, you know, like the things that are coming together after so many years, like trying to find our paths and our ways. I finally kind of like coming together. So
yeah. Yeah, you very know, exciting. When he also was in the concert.
Yeah. Yes, I also got married.
Yeah. Did you meet her in the queue as well?
Basically, that concert for me was one of the most important things of my life, you know, because that was the time when I discovered my roots and my these traditions. And basically, because of this concert, it took me into a music career. You know, this concert was the inspiration for writing an album and getting interested about all these Afro-Colombian rhythms. And this is where my research of Afro-Colombian rhythms and my encounter with Bullerengue basically started. So, yeah, I fall in love in a different way with music.
That's awesome. And Valeria, were you at the concert by any chance?
I wasn't. No, I feel a little bit left out.
What are we saying?
I was there in spirit. I mean, yeah. I'm a long time fan of the Tolemo cuisine. I've seen her lots of times. But this time in particular, I didn't even knew that she was playing. And it was quite frustrating because I think 2 or 3 days after that concert, my like ex-girlfriend was like, oh, so I went to a Totola Montesina concert. She's Spanish and he's French. And I was like, what? How did I not like knew about this? And yeah, so I can make it, unfortunately.
So it's kind of like you fell out of love then at that point, and whereas everyone else fell into love. And so I'm going to say, what do we say in Spanish? Uno de esos beaches.
It was a very important culture for me too.
Uno de esos beaches no es como los otros, algo así. You're the different one from this group.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about life in London, because, you know, I'm born and raised in London, unusual, but I was born and raised as an English person in London. but I don't know, I know a little bit about, so let's say, the Latin American diaspora to the United Kingdom through other friends from Colombia, Brazil, Peru. I once visited a bedsit in northern Kensington, which was run by a Bolivian lady in her bowler hat and all of her dresses. It was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen in my life, because I've worked in Bolivia and everything. But then, and there was a man sitting there chewing coca leaves, and it was just like, I could be in El Alto or something. I mean, it wasn't as cold or as high, but what is it like to sort of set up life? Because starting out in London is not easy. Maybe Esteban or Valeria would like to share.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy. And for me, I think it took me a really long time to actually like properly adapt to London. I've loved it. Like, since I first got here, I fell in love with the city straight away, but it hasn't been easy, as you say. And in fact, I was actually planning to leave London. I had already, you know, set up everything to go and live in Australia, but that's when the pandemic hit. And I got trapped in Colombia. And then when I came back to London after a long time, just a lot of stuff started happening related to music. And I just fell in love with this again. And it's funny because in my time before going to Colombia, I didn't really know that many Colombian people here. I mean, I had Colombian friends, but I guess in a way I was interested in hanging out with people from other places. And I wasn't really that much involved with the Colombian diaspora. But then it's been, what, a year, maybe a bit more, that I came back. And all of a sudden I started meeting all these Colombian people, meeting all these Colombian musicians, being more connected than ever to, you know, my roots, my music. And now I really feel at home here. It's fantastic. So I love it.
But as you say, it's the roots, the music that are flowing through your current, let's say, environment, permitting you to feel at home. So there is that element of Colombia keeping you sane, let's say, keeping you happy.
It is. It's funny how, you know, sometimes I tell people, you know, kind of like my life story regarding music, and everyone finds it so funny, like me as well, that it was only when I came to London that I really got connected to, you know, my roots, Latin American music. I've always, you know, in a way, liked it and had it in my life, but it just came to a whole new level only when I came to London.
Very cool. Well, maybe it allows you step away from it when it's right in your face at home, but then you step away from it when you go away, and it allows you to look at it from a different perspective and therefore appreciate it. That's my personal feeling on certain things as well. It's like, you know, I don't feel 100% connected to London and stuff, but then suddenly for me, it's not so much music, obviously, but it's the history. And if I can then sort of associate history in, I don't know, in Bogota, and then maybe because I'm always investigating Mombos, and I find then people who, like travelers in the 19th century who went down the river, and I find their diaries and their reflections of coming through and the time it was in the UK. For me, it's really special, and that brings it home. It's the history rather than the music for me. But I can hear that. I can hear that definitely being important. And I want to say, Esteban, in this little blurb that Nick wrote up, which was not little at all, it was the rumination that I received, he said that you also started out like in punk music.
Yes, I mean that was my I used to like rock and punk when I was.
I still love it. There we go.
Well, I don't listen to it as much anymore. Now it's mostly Bujerengue and like this medicine music now. Like it's changed a little bit.
So you've chilled out, because I listen to 70s punk. I still do, because I'm an angry old man now. But you have become a mellowed out person as you mature.
Yeah, kind of. I think I still have a lot of anger to, you know, to get out of my system. But that's why music is so important. It helps to send all these emotions into another kind of vibration. A healthier kind of vibration.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's my way of getting that anger, that rage. And I'm gonna bring it across now. I find that there's things like The Clash work so well for me in Bogota. It's just like,
I can see why.
It's an aggressive city.
Start taking up the tambor, really.
Yeah.
I think in Bogota, you need to be playing the tambor while stuck in traffic, really.
Well, it's an interesting thing you say that. You see, there's a band in Mompos called Abundio y sus Traviesos. And they play the, you know, cumbia, mapale, chande. And they played at my wedding, in fact, way back in the day. But during the pandemic, because they had no work, I ended up sort of, let's say, hiring them for tambour lessons so that they could earn money during the pandemic. I'm really not very good, but I enjoyed it a great deal. So it But I didn't find it was very, very cathartic for my rage. So there we go. but so tell me a little bit again. Let's get into this now. Let's get into the music because, you know, we know you all met at the Toto La Momposina concert. All of this went. You guys kind of all got together in a bedsit in North London. So it has all of the makings of a great story, you know, because the greatest things happen, I think, under some sort of duress and stress. And living in a bedsit is not always the easiest thing either. So I can just see, and of course, you're living this immigrant experience to London, which can be incredibly difficult. It is a big city. And because of its cosmopolitan nature, I think there's a lot of distance between people, not because, you know, whereas in other cities, it's different. So let's just hear, you know, how do we make this jump to Bullerengue? I mean, who wants to jump in there and say, listen, Bullerengue became our focal point because, who's going to say so?
Well, I can say it.
Go on. I want to hear.
So just to link it with the full story, there is another part that is also collaborating with the making of the festival, which is the Guacamayo Tropical. So these guys came to London and did a party. And there we met a lot of musicians. And from that cycle that it was created that night with also like danzadoras and drummers, we create like a kind of, a small cycle. And then Esteban came into the cycle and he was doing an album because he had the revelation on the concert of Toto La Momposina, right? Something like that. So he took us into Bullerengue and we started to discover the Bullerengue rhythm and we did his album. I mean, like he did his album, but we collaborate in I collaborate with the dance and other musicians with, you know, and that created like a little bit the seed of the Bullerengue kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and just to explain how we go to Bullerengue is like from punk. In punk, I could feel, you know, when I was listening to punk, I was feeling this energy in my guts, you know, like something very like, I don't know, you know, this energy. And this is something that I later found on when I was starting dancing salsa when I was like at like 15, 16 at you know my friends' birthdays. And in Colombia we do the quinces, so that's when you start drinking a little bit of alcohol and dancing salsa. So I found that same, you know, in the old school salsa, like, you know, like New York kind of vibe salsa. I found that energy as well. And then I started like getting very, that was my school of rhythms. And then I started a salsa band. But then when I was here in London after this concert, I started reaching and discovering all these Afro-Colombian traditions. And I started watching these documentaries of Toto, and she was talking about Bullerengue, and I was like, oh, what is Bullerengue? And then she was talking about Etelvina Maldonado and Petrona Martinez. I knew Petrona Martinez, but I didn't know she was a Bullerengue singer. And then I started listening to Etelvina Maldonado, and that was like, wow, so beautiful. This is so powerful. And then I started, as Tati was saying, I started writing this album based on this of my discovery of Afro-Colombian rhythms while being in London. So I was started to listen to music. I studied drums before, so I could play drums in my punk band. And then when I moved to salsa, I did a bit of Latin percussion. So I could play the conga and basically I started, I love music, but I've always run away from music because in Colombia they say, you know, if you don't have opportunities as a musician. So that's why I came to England, because I was so lost in my life. I didn't know what to do. And there was the opportunity to come here and study English. So I said, oh, why not? I go and study English for a year. I can have a think about what I want to do. I work, I do a little bit of travels. And while being here, I discovered sound engineering, and I went to study sound engineering. And basically, because of sound engineering, mm-hmm. I said, like, oh, yeah, this is amazing because it's, like, related to music, but not being a musician. But then, like, once I had the tools to record and produce and mix and craft a record, I couldn't really get away with becoming a producer, because mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do, you know, like, to find bands and produce them and record them. But it was difficult, especially mm-hmm. as well if you are, you know, if you're a Colombian. Like, already it's difficult for English producers, you know. So it's like the industry is very difficult. So I don't know, because of this concert after I started recording my songs and I focus on two Afro-Colombian rhythms, which is cumbia and bullerengue at this time. But then bullerengue started to really move something inside as mm-hmm. as punk and salsa was doing. And I really found something powerful that I couldn't describe at that time, but I just went crazy for it. And we started, you know, because I started working on the release of the album, on the concert. We went to Wilderness, and then we invited this group of dancers called Some of Chichas and Tati. And it was such a beautiful experience. We were all like gathering and you know, like dancing and creating. And also, like, we started this kind of like community movement where we started like just like showing, just getting together and teaching what we knew about Afro-Colombian music. And I don't know, it just started to become more and more and more important and bigger, and people were showing up, a lot of interest started coming, and then we were feeling this energy, and it was like, wow, this is so powerful. And then basically just this virus got spread and now it's kind of like a movement, you know, it's like, yeah, a community movement.
That's really cool. Yeah. And bullerengue, because Tatiana, you are a dancer, so bullerengue, how is it different to other Afro Colombian rhythms in terms of dance and the beat and the music? Because you have to feel these things as a dancer.
I would say something simple. It's a little bit more ritualistic, the bullerengue. Like the cumbia is a little bit more kind of showy, you know, like you put on a performance and you know, show a beautiful pollera colorada. Like the lines are also kind of more open, but bullerengue is more about feeling inside, and it's more ritualistic in that sense, that it's forming a rueda, so everyone is invited to dance. There is a kind of rules to the dance as well, kind of not rules but kind of protocol. Mm-hmm. And so I would say it's a little, the main difference, apart obviously on the beat and the kind of step that you do, is more like it goes, you need to connect more with yourself, with your kind of, even like your entrañas, you know, yeah, like your, how to say in English?
Your guts.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, this is what Esteban has just explained to us as well, because he could feel, yeah, it. I mean, yeah, the both of you have been so very expressive about this. I think you've come across as incredibly, you know, that in the right way, totally immersed, and I would say, you know, Colombians truly in touch and following the nature of this music, because it's in your guts, as you said, it's in your guts. That's so, it's very,
yeah, it's
interesting,
like,
to hear.
Imprinted in the inside, somehow it's like you feel it's very natural as well.
And as you say, there's like a protocol, not like rules, but protocol. And you say it's in a circle. So therefore, you invite more people to the circle. It's very inclusive.
Yeah, it's very inclusive.
Normally,
when it comes into a rueda, no? Like,
Yeah, because in a bullerengue circle, no, in a rueda, the idea is for everyone to get involved and everyone to participate. So you have the people playing the instruments. You know, bullerengue is very, you could say, simple in its structure. It has two drums, one, you know, seed instrument, which can be maracas, which can be, you know, any type of shaker. And then you have the main singer and you've got the chorus. And in Bullerengue, the chorus is very important. So you have a lot of people, no matter how many people come to the rueda, everyone is, you know, important. Like everyone needs to be part of that collective chant. Everyone needs to be clapping because the claps then become like another instrument that has to be there. And the more people, you know, chanting, clapping, participating, giving their power to the rueda, the more powerful it will feel. Then, you know, in a Bullerengue rueda, dance is very important. So usually you have a man and a woman in the middle dancing, but they change constantly. It's not the same people all the time there in the center, but it's very much about, you know, everyone getting their chance to get in, to enjoy, to dance, participate. And it's about communication as well. Like you have this protocol, or I would say this language, mm-hmm. and then you have to find ways to express it yourselves and, you know, get in touch and connect to all the people who are part of this rueda. So it is very inclusive. It's very much about community.
Valeria, did you study music? Because you're speaking like you're almost like a total expert there.
I didn't study music. In fact, I didn't really do music until about, what was that? Around the time we all met, because yeah. I started coming to this space that we're talking about when we were just getting together. We were learning from each other. Well, I was learning from everyone because I didn't really know a lot. Mm. It was my first time, you know, really taking a drum, really getting into music. And this was only maybe
2019,
yeah. So not that long ago. But I come from a very musical family. I did, you know, play a little bit of piano when I was little. I sang and I danced all my life. But this, you know, incursion into like playing instruments is very new for me and very exciting. It's been very life-changing.
And because of that experience, Valeria, well, I remember the first time I saw you playing tambor with Esteban live, and now you're what, leader of your own all-female Bullerengue and Cumbia collective and part of this music scene. So it's like it's a virus, no?
We have to be very careful how we use that word right now.
it's contagious for sure.
There we go.
It's highly contagious.
That's fine. Well, so Nick, I'll ask you and then I'll ask Tatiana. So Nick, how is your Bullerengue dancing?
Yeah, so I have to say all of us here became at some point live performing Bullerengue dancers.
Yeah. Yes.
And Esteban, I managed to get involved with Esteban in 2019. And when I started to do it, I would have to say I was a 0.5 out of 10. And then after traveling around the UK, you know, it was good enough to not disappoint my peers. And obviously dancing with my wife, who's a professional dancer, all I wanted to do was to be like, you know, capable enough to pull that one off.
And I've seen him dance, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So, Tatiana, the truth.
He's amazing.
There we go. What a wonderful.
No, like you know, the beautiful thing about Bullerengue is that the technique doesn't matter that much, you know? Like, as soon as the person brings their own spirit, their own personality to the dance, it's really fun. So really, it's not like other dances that where the technique is essential, like dance, like salsa, for example. If you dance with someone who doesn't know the steps, it can be a little bit boring for you, but in Bullerengue, it doesn't happen that much.
Mm. Bullerengue is a dance that you feel.
Yeah.
And that the public, the audience need to feel. And maybe you could say the same about the culture generally.
Very nice.
It's not so much about the notes and not so much about the visual. It's you could close your eyes and as long as you feel it, you're in the place.
Yeah, I mean, there is like some basic kind of like basic steps and basic strokes of the drum that you can always go back to, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like in lot of traditions, you have like bases that you go back to for you, you know, like the for the structure. But then after that structure is all about, you know, receiving whatever comes to you in the moment. So Bullerengue is very important because he sets you in the present, and it's like connecting and channeling in the divine source of inspiration, because everything is whatever comes in the moment. There is no choreographies, there is no lyrics, you know, like you just have like a repetitive chorus, which is like a mantra that takes you into this trance. And then the idea is just that we connect with ourselves, with the universal consciousness, and then we just dance all and unify our voices in one dance, in one movement. So that's why it's so powerful, and all the healing properties that this practice have. And this is something that we've been kind of like discovering more lately, as well with Valeria. We started this thing called Bullerengue Circle. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to use Bullerengue and all these different elements to find this self-awareness, to be more connected with the inspiration, and to find that we are all creative selves. We can all dance, we can all sing. It's just a matter of finding our talents, you know, and being aware of my voice and finding where is it, what do I need to do, what movement do I need to do to produce sound.
Being connected, as you say, to the music, being connected to the dance. There was a moment back then where Nick mentioned he traveled, I guess you guys traveled around the UK playing, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I would say the summer of 2019 was kind of like a really big summer, I guess. It got a little bit more centered in London during 2020 for obvious reasons, but there were festivals around the UK and lots of events. So there was traveling at the time just around the UK. Yeah.
One of those highlights was the Wilderness Festival. It was very, very, very nice experience.
How do people connect to you? I mean, how do you feel that the audience, because, you know, hopefully, let's say an Anglo audience is able to feel this? Because we're not, I mean, I'll be honest, we're not known for our dancing. There are obviously English people who can dance, but we are not. It's not something like, you go Colombians, oh yeah, they can dance. Cubans, oh yeah, they can dance. You go English, well, they had great bands, you know. And so we do a lot of, you know, sort of tapping our feet and nodding our heads and stuff. But does the English crowd get behind you when you're up there playing at somewhere like the Wilderness Festival?
Definitely, they go crazy. Yes, they went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the beautiful thing about this, and it's like, you know, it's very inviting, and it's because, you know, these traditions, obviously, this come from Africa, you know, it's like it's an African tradition that got like mixed with indigenous and Spanish cultures and became what it is today. But it's a very root thing that we can all feel somehow. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting, like in the summer of 2020, we started like playing in the parks after the, like, you know, where we could start like going back to the parks again. And then, like, you know, we were just singing our Bullerengue there with our group of friends. And then from one moment to another, we would look around and it would be like packed of people, like from all sorts of cultures. You would see like the Turkish group, the Jewish group, like the English, like everyone was there, like, wow, what is this? You know, and approaching, and it's like, oh, this is nice, you know, like, somehow it has the power that, yes, like, you know, it doesn't matter really if it's in Spanish or if it's in another language. It's just like, you know, the beat, the energy, the power.
Do you know what it is? I'm saying this as a kind of a Londoner who was, you know, brought up here and obviously have a Colombian heritage, right? So in this city especially, you wear a mask of individuality and maybe kind of coolness. A sense of in maybe sometimes being a bit disconnected from a community. But with Bullerengue, what you notice is that as long as you take off that mask, as long as you take off your cool, you will be connected to something higher, and you're connected to each other in a way that is like I don't experience it in things that are not otherwise kind of spiritual. I mean, that, I guess that's what it is. It's
a, you know, it's very, it's powerful. It's very special. It really connects you, as I say.
Yeah, so it's spiritual, but it's a really good time.
Well, that's mixing the best of both worlds there. So let's, I mean, this is the ideal time. I mean, we've heard your feelings and your connection and the inclusivity of Bullerengue. Tell us about the Prende la Vela. Tell us about what's happening. Now, this is going from the 29th to the 31st of July in Barcelona. Who's going to jump in and do the pitch here and try and get people?
Do the link. Well, as we say, everything grows. I think it was last year. No. Well, Guacamayo Tropical, they are in Madrid. It's a set of DJs, and they also have a band. And they also been in the same kind of process. So the diaspora, because I come from the diaspora in Madrid. And from there, like, it happens kind of the same process. Like, some small group started to come together, making music, making events, and then it grew into something bigger. So Nick just one day randomly said, why we don't, you know, put everything together and make a festival?
What did you say? What was your response?
And I was like, you're crazy.
and then I said to Valeria, and Valeria, do you remember what you said to me?
Yeah, of course. Like, look, what did I say?
And you said, sounds like a great idea. What preoccupies me is the logistics of this. So, okay, what's the logistics? Do you mind if I
just give me one moment? Yeah. So yeah, that's how was the link. Nick started, and then I contact Andres, because I knew he was more into this. Andres is from Guacamayo Tropical. He's more into the circuit of festivals and mm-hmm. stuff. And I told him the idea, and he was like, yes, de una, lo hacemos. Well. And he was like, yeah, I'm there. And then randomly, there was like a serendipity that La Perla from Colombia, which is like, they are amazing. They were in Spain at the same time that we were planning the festival. So we say, okay, so cool. Let's put the Perla, La Perla as headliners, and then build up the festival from there.
So
amazing, amazing! And so this is a free event,
right? So the festival runs over 3 days, and some of the events will be ticketed. So from the big. With a big concert with La Perla, with Esteban and Valeria's band, Acola Tambor. That will be an entrance fee. And then some of the events will have donations. There'll be lots of different events with workshops, concerts. So it kind of depends on each. But there'll be lots of different ways to participate. That's, yeah.
Yeah, and we had a package which is like, it's a very accessible price. Like you pay for everything, and it's very accessible for all the events we have in line.
€15 for the big night, which is La Perla, a massive group in Colombia. We play sort of bullerengue and cumbia, Acola Tambor, which is. It's group here who are huge in London and creating this amazing amazing culture.
Yeah, it's like a movement
though. It's a real movement.
It's a real movement.
And maybe I could just explain a little bit about what the weekend encompasses. Is that okay?
Go nuts.
Right. I'll start with the philosophy, right? The philosophy is what you've kind of been hearing and experiencing up to now has been kind of from a squat in North London to the rest of London and the rest of the UK. But what we want to do is unify these movements that we have in Madrid, with Guacamayo Tropical, in London, and in Colombia, to turn movements which are operating in their kind of little islands of bullerengue into exchange ideas, exchange processes, and maybe grow something bigger, right? So we'll have a weekend in which people can learn about Bullerengue through workshops, can experience Bullerengue through going to the concerts. And what we hope to do would be that in some way we put Bullerengue more on the map, first of all in Europe, but let's see where this goes. I mean,
yeah, and we are also having cumbia. It's not only strict Bullerengue. Mm-hmm. Bullerengue is what happened like here, but there are also rhythms from cumbia and other Afro-Colombian rhythms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess ultimately we're starting with our first Prende la Vela Festival in Barcelona because it's just works, right? It works as a place for us all to be together. But let's see. I mean, there's so many groups now in London. Maybe one year we'll have a Prende la Vela in London. And maybe one day we'll go to Colombia to the source of Bullerengue and Cumbia. We'll all go to Maria La Baja. We'll show them what's been created here based on the source in Colombia. Maybe Toto will come to our concert one day. Yeah. Toto and Mopacino will come to us.
Why not? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, just sort of a kind of throwaway comment. Let's do a festival. And I'm sure it's been a lot more complex than you make out, Nick. I'm sure it's not everything has just suddenly magically fallen into place. But, you've certainly, what do they say in Colombia? Yeah, quemaron unas neuronas ahí, putting it all together. You've burnt some brain cells out, I think. But we are 1 month away from what I can understand. Everything is in place. You're going to have an incredible festival. The weather obviously will be great. It's Barcelona, so people will want to be out listening to live music and having a good time. Where exactly is the concert? Where is the festival? Where can we send people?
Okay, great. So the first thing that people need to do is they need to go to guacamayotropical.com. Maybe for the English-speaking listeners, it might just be easier to search for Prende la Vela Festival on Facebook. We have the event there. We have all the details. Maybe, Richard, we could ask you to put in the show notes some links to that.
Yep.
The next thing that we could do is maybe link to Instagram pages, Bullerengue Circle. You guys are going to be having posting on the festival, right? Acola Tambor, La Perla.
Guacamayo Tropical as well.
Guacamayo Tropical. You need to buy your tickets to Barcelona because the festival will start on Friday afternoon. So that's Friday the 29th. The big concert, we call it La Noche Gorda, will be at La Nau, which is a big concert venue in Barcelona, on Saturday the 30th, have I got this right? And then on Sunday the 31st will be
Outdoors.
So, I mean, is there somewhere better to do drumming and cumbia and bullerengue than on the beach?
Probably
in
we'll
Barcelona.
Form one of the biggest ruedas in Europe on that Sunday in Barcelona.
A rueda for Barcelona to remember forever. And then finally, electronic cumbia.
Yeah.
El Guacamayo Tropical at the Jamboree. And then on Monday, like, sleep. Go to a spa. Find a way to relax, but you'll remember the weekend forever.
And this, when you said La Noa, what kind of capacity does it have?
It's approximately 400 capacity for the concert.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and for the rueda, as many people as possible, like everyone's welcome.
What the beach can fit,
the
yes.
The rueda is infinite.
The rueda has no limit of participants. And then we have the workshop, which I guess we can hold up to.
Yeah. We'll find a way to get you into the workshop.
On Friday, we have world shows. We have an opening ceremony of the festival. We'll do a little bit of kind of medicine music. With songs about peace, because that's like also kind of the main message of the festival. Because, you know, music is also like a kind of revolution for peace. As we came back to the situation in Colombia, like we need to keep that message more than ever that, you know, it's it's fine now. It's okay to be in peace as brothers and sisters.
This is a very interesting turn of phrase that you use there, Tatiana. No, but I like it very much. It's okay to be in peace. I think that's something that could be reflected upon quite a lot in Colombia. You know, that the stigma and the effort and energy that has been put into conflict for so long, it's okay to be in peace. You know, I think that's a very interesting way of putting it, and could be an amazing message through the Prendi la Vela. Could be amazing. It's okay, you know. I think you appeal to a certain. There's a certain way of putting it like that, because Colombia has known almost nothing else, and now we are maturing. We're hopefully moving on. Yeah. I like this. How, as a final note, has anyone else got anything they feel about this and this transcending the political sort of polarization and as a message to Colombia?
I think I would like to add, it's like the new generations somehow are connecting more to the roots. No, I would love to see a lot of young people embracing their Colombian roots, dance, the music. It's a way to embrace the peace and the identity.
Mm-hmm. And actually, can I bring it back to the immigrant life in London for just a moment, and how this all kind of fits? Mm-hmm. Is that what I witnessed? Seeing my mum as an immigrant in London when I was a child, was that, and maybe you guys agree with this to a certain extent, London life can be a little bit like, you know, those supermarket dashes where you're allowed to go around the supermarket, just grab everything you want and just fill up your basket full of stuff. And it's just there's so much material and there's so much activity, but maybe you get to the checkout and you can feel a bit disconnected from those who are around you. You can feel like your basket's full of stuff, but maybe not so much in the community. And I feel like what these guys have created here, and maybe what Bullerengue creates, is this sense of a community and connection in a way which doesn't need all of this material stuff, in a way that can grow out of a squat in North London, or in the case of the north of Colombia and the parts of Colombia which have the least of all of Colombia. And to reconnect it to this new generation of Colombians, is that certainly the sense that I'm getting is that, yes, material and economic growth is obviously extremely important. But in creating these artificial divisions between people, be it through politics or otherwise, there's a sense to which it's only creates more division and trouble. And bringing it back to what we are, our essence and our ancestral roots, I think it's ambitious and it's optimistic, but I feel like certainly I have felt a way to connect and transcend these divisions in a way that other things are unable to do so. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Aho.
I think we end on that, because that's quite an impacting way. But as you say, as the words there, identity, isn't it? It's identity and more. And so let me take this moment and say, listen, I know it's going to be a roaring success, and that you're going to be hosting the biggest Rueda on the beach in Barcelona this summer.
Exactly.
And forever.
Come on.
And you're going to, I wish you all the best, although I don't think you need it. I think with your enthusiasm and love for this this project and the music and the feeling, and as you both of all have said, it's in your guts. I think it's going to be amazing. And yes, thank you for sharing your time, and thank you for sharing, you know, quite personal reflections on this. I hope I can drive one or two people to getting there in Barcelona and accompanying you just a little bit. Thank you so much, Nick and Tatiana, Esteban and Valeria, for your time.
Thank you,
Richard.
Thank you, everyone. Guacamayotropical.com.
No problem. I will put up the things.
I hope a lot of people who are listening can come and join us. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. It's going to be magical. It's going to be epic. And yeah, we're super excited. Can't wait.
Excellent. Well, that's us this week signing off. Thank you again to our guests, Nick Lopez Green, Tatiana Gomez, Esteban Cardona, and Valeria Pacific. We will be back next week with more interviews and conversations with some sort of element of Colombianness in them, of course. And now we'll go over, finishing this episode 431, to some words from our sponsors. But thank you again for listening. And this episode was brought to you by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean. Since 1967, their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. And also, our other sponsor is BNB Colombia Tours, experts in custom-made travel throughout Colombia. The team at BNB Colombia Tours can provide you with fantastic private experiences, creating wonderful memories of Colombia for a lifetime. Check out the website at bnbcolombia.com, complete the free itinerary form, and tell them that Colombia Calling sent you to receive a further 5% off their already great prices. So that's bnbcolombia.com and, of course, latinnews.com. Thank you for everyone for listening. That's us. Farewell. And, of course, check back next week. Bye-bye. Habla con...